Welcome back to White. I already messed it up. Welcome back to Black.
This is seductive.
God.
This is seductive.
I'm working on it. Let me do seductive.
This is like what you listen to when you're having trouble sleeping.
That's true. That's true. This is NPR. Okay, I'll do seductive.
You just call it up.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, what's up? Welcome back to Black Guys on White Movies with me, Amana Doomer.
And Aaron Covington.
Me, Brandon Gardner.
There it is. Yes. Oh, Aaron really broke the pattern.
I think, yeah, my voice is naturally deep, so I'll roll with that.
You're like, yeah. This is sexy enough.
Yeah, this is sexy enough. This week, Black Guys on White Movies is bringing to you Top Gun, the original, starring Tom Cruise, directed by Tony Scott, 1986 classic, fighter pilot classic, the one and only.
Yes, definitely of this era. I guess there's probably like World War II fighter pilot classics, but, and we'll get to it. The thing that's amazing about this movie is they made it when there really was not a war, right? Not in America. It was like Cold War. So they kind of have to make it up.
Yeah. That part really threw me in the movie. I was scrambling to the internet. Like, what? Who are they fighting? Because they never say.
Who are the guys with the red stars on the plane? Yeah.
Exactly.
Is
it Russia?
Is this G.I. Joe? Is this Cobra?
It might as well have been. Yeah.
Tech log line. As students at the United States Navy's Elite Fighter Weapons School, the United States Navy's Elite Fighter Weapons School. Oh, man, that's a tongue twister. As students at the United States Navy's Elite Fighter Weapons School compete to be best in the class, one daring young pilot learns a few things from a civilian instructor that are not taught in the classroom.
Interesting. I don't think that's necessarily accurate, but sure.
Oh, man.
Yeah. There's
things that are not taught in the classroom. Is this an action movie or an adult movie by that log line? It really just depends on how sensual, you know, if you get a mom reading it.
Yeah.
There's things that are not taught in the class.
It also sort of implies.
Yeah, where you put the pauses. Yeah,
Maverick needed to be instructed on sex, which the movie seems to imply he did not need. The movie makes pretty clear he's been having a lot of sex for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So much that he turns it down whenever he's just like, yeah,
there's a lot of it. A lot of him turning it down.
So
a lot of her looking like he's about to kiss her and him being like, all right, peace. See you later.
Yeah.
I got to go shower.
Jeez, Tom.
Tom's out there teasing.
Maverick, I mean, you got to say Maverick.
You got to say Maverick. Or Pete, I guess, is his the character's name.
Do these characters have names? Because I just
some of you Maverick. Have to look up. Occasionally, they'll refer to someone by a last name or a first name.
Yeah,
like Iceman is like Wachowski or something. It's like something.
Yeah, Mike Wachowski. He's also in Monsters Inc.
He's crossover character.
General thoughts of the movie to get us started and warmed up here. Aman, what did you think? First time watching. That's the first question. Was this an initial viewing?
Yes, this is the first time I've watched Top Gun. And I was watching it from the point of view of like, oh yeah, this is a Tony Scott movie. I'm looking at all the colors and the planes flying and like, I can't help but think of, was it Inside Job? Was it Denzel, the one with the
Man on Fire? Scott?
Man on Fire, yes.
I was gonna say, cause, yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't help but think of that. So I was watching it from that point of view. And I mean, we'll get into it. It felt very I don't know what the right term is. It was very homoerotic.
And, oh, for sure, famously.
Yeah.
I'd never seen this movie, so I was like, whoa, okay. If this is the subtext, it's not very sub, you know what I mean? It's really out there. So that's what I thought when I was watching it.
The boys are just hanging around.
That's it.
Yeah, any chance they have to be shirtless.
Yes.
They're like, well, why don't we take their shirts off in this one?
Yeah.
What if they have this dialogue while waiting outside the showers?
Yeah.
Just because.
Yeah. Let's get a couple guys in towels just for, you know, just for layers.
And man, I remembered the volleyball scene. It's sort of a famous scene, but even rewatching it this time, it's so funny that it has nothing to do with anything, that they just shoot a volleyball music video.
Yeah.
Like a few minutes of it in the middle of this movie.
Yeah.
Where Tom Cruise is playing shirtless in jeans. And then he heads off to meet this woman. And it really, the only thing I guess it's there for is to explain why he's sweaty later, but it's like not part of the plot.
The guys just needed to relax. I think the subtext says, hey, flying planes, fighter planes, it's so tough. Sometimes you need to get sweaty with the boys.
That makes sense. I don't know if it needs to be in the movie. I get it. One thing that I read,
crucial, you know,
about how they hired Tony Scott, which makes a lot of sense, is that he had made a Saab commercial, the car brand. Mm-hmm. I think it was Saab, and they liked that. And a lot of the parts that I think are good parts of the movie that I enjoyed sort of feel like car commercials. Or it's like or commercials in general. It's like very stylized. Mm-hmm. Like the very beginning, I like where they're just shooting real footage of fighters taking off aircraft carriers with like real workers doing whatever, set to like pumped up music. It's like, oh, this is cool. And I think all the fight scenes where they're in the planes, I think still look pretty cool. It's anytime it's like a non in the plane scene that I think it
falls apart.
It falls apart. Some of the stuff, like the whole thing with him and Charlie, the civilian contractor, I'm not that into. Some of the scene, like there's one scene where
you mean the romance with
the whole romance. Yeah. The whole romance thing. There's a part where she's evaluating one of his flights, one of his like simulation fights, and criticizes it, and he storms off very childishly. She's trying to talk to him, and he keeps revving his engine of his motorcycle so she can't talk. He speeds up.
Say that part again. Say that part again.
He's like revving his motorcycle engine so she can't talk to him.
Right.
Like a child. And then he speeds off, and she follows him in her vintage Porsche. Also like runs red lights and stuff to track him down. And then she says, "You showed real genius, but I couldn't say that because I was afraid everyone would know how I felt about you, that I was falling for you." And then he kisses her. And it's like, "Ooh, boy."
That's how romance worked in the 80s, you know? But actually, we will get into that a lot, because I took some notes on that the whole romance and what it even would make you think if you're watching this, right? Uh-huh. How to attract a mate. It's insane. My thoughts.
It's so aggressive.
It's so aggressive. He follows her into the back.
That's so psychotic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even the part of like the very famous, the Righteous Brothers part in the very beginning, the song, where they sing to her is very aggressive.
It was terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it reads a lot differently today than it did in 1986.
So my general thoughts are, oh man, how long have we been doing this today? 5 minutes, 6 minutes?
Something like that.
My general thoughts in this movie is watching this, I just felt like I was watching a Marvel movie. This is the actual template for modern superhero movies where like a bunch of, it's almost like Lord of the Rings, where it's not about any one thing. Is it about his friendship with Goose at times? Is it about a romance? Is it a romantic? Sometimes he's with a lady. Is it about the fighter planes when it wants to be? And is it about this rivalry? About a fifth of the time, it's about the rivalry. So it's like there's no center to the movie other than just, like I said, in like the James Bond episode, it's just like, does Maverick look cool? For the time, maybe not as he doesn't always look cool when we analyze it today, but at the time, does Maverick look cool? What is this scene? I don't know. As long as Maverick looks cool in it, we're gonna put it in the movie, man. It's, you know,
right?
And then, of course, like you know, it is very much like a concert movie, because then he gets to have his emotional songs. You know, when his friend dies, things aren't going right with the girl. Somebody brings up a memory and he's like, but my father, you know, just like these superhero movies. It's just like Bruce Wayne going, oh, but my dad, or Iron Man going, but my dad. The one thing I was happy for was that he didn't have a dead mom or a dead wife, just to bring the tropes full circle.
Right.
Yeah.
In the superhero realm. Oh, my mom died when I was 7. As long as it was missing that, I was like, yeah, this may be a step above some Marvel movies. But Marvel, DC, and you got to think, the people making those movies, even if it's not the actual director, but definitely the director, but all the execs love Top Gun. Execs now grew up in the era where they love Top Gun. So they're just remaking Top Gun over and over again. Maybe there's a couple other comparisons for some movies, especially like with the bigger cast, but the solo superhero movie is Top Gun. That's how I feel.
That's what, to me, as I watched it, I was like, oh, this is a sports movie. Because there's a lot of parallels with that.
Biopic? Yeah.
Yeah.
But even like the like rising up the standings, where there's voiceover a few times from one of their instructors where it's like, all right, Iceman's in first place and right behind him, only 2 points away, is Maverick. And we've got two fights left, or where you're constantly being like shown the score. And which also, and the other movie it made me think of, and I think there's a few movies like this, but is the movie Center Stage, which is like a dance school movie. But the plot of that is, ballet dancers go to this academy.
We know the plot of that. They're the $50,000 dance competition. Somebody has to win all of a sudden.
Well, this one, I think it's like to make the company. It's like you go to this exam and only a few dancers will make company.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's the same thing as making Top Gun.
Right. Being the Top Gun.
It's the elite of the elite. Lots of pressure and internal competition.
Right.
To be number one at the end of the school year or whatever.
Yes, yes. It's this, it's the you got served model. It's the same movie, just change some of the details.
Even similar things of like the dancer who doesn't follow the rules, right? Or in this case, the pilot, the ones who are a little reckless, naturally talented, everyone comments on it. Wow, they're a genius, but they need to get, you know, in with the program.
Well, I have a few the Black movie recommendation of the week. And then a few addendums to that.
Nice.
The recommendation is a movie that hasn't come out yet. It's called Devotion. It's about Jesse Brown, the first Black fighter pilot who died in the Korean War in like 1950. It's starring Jonathan Majors. So it's not even really a Black movie, but it's a Black lead and a historical Black figure, unknown, that I think people should look up and be more familiar with. He's a literal war hero, not just because of he was the first, but his actions in the war. And it hasn't come out yet. I just saw a headline about it, so I think it comes out this fall. Check it out.
Jonathan Majors, great. Yeah.
Jonathan Majors, I think this is probably like an Oscar attempt for him and his camp.
Cool. Right.
It just seems like it, you know. I also got to mention Red Tails.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
The Black fighter pilot movie, Tuskegee Airmen. Also, and I want to mention this movie's doppelganger, an officer and a gentleman.
Oh, that's funny. I thought this movie's doppelganger was Hot Shots, which is like the satire of it.
Hot Shots is definitely the satire. But this and Officer and a Gentleman are just same movie. I think Officer and a Gentleman is a better movie. I think the romance is better. The friendships is better. And definitely the Lou Gossett Jr. with an Oscar winning turn as the instructor.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. That's a better overall movie. And I highly recommend it. Not necessarily a Black movie, but Lou Gossett. Is Black. Blacker than Black.
He makes it blacker than Top Gun. Yeah, for sure.
Truly.
Check out any and all of those movies. And it was just funny how similar. I was like, were people dying to see soldiers trying to get in, you know what I mean? Like training at this point, because that's really, even Full Metal Jacket, or the first half of it, was about boot camp.
Mm-hmm.
So like in the 80s, was there just an urge from the public for military training and not even military action?
Curiosity for it?
Yeah.
I get that there was no major war in that traditional sense. That's what filled the gaps for war movies. There were still going to be war movies. I mean,
yeah, you had that 80s patriotism, the whole Cold War US versus Russia thing, and this like pent up, but we're not actually fighting a war.
Yeah.
So I guess, yeah, the closest, like Top Gun really is the closest, where it's like a little bit of action with an unnamed enemy.
An unnamed enemy. Just like there is an enemy. There's always an enemy lurking. This is America.
Oh, man. And I think we'll get to it, but the idea that that happens, they announce it on the day of their graduation.
Yeah.
I know.
They've just gotten the champagne out and it's like, hold up, there's a mission to fly.
Yeah.
Ship out immediately.
Yeah.
The other thing I want to talk about real quick is like the numbers of the top cut. So up top, there's a graphic and it says the top 1% of fighter pilots go to Top Gun school. But then later,
elite weapons fighters.
Yes, that's the official name. Then later, Charlie is saying that she gets a new like crop of fighter pilots every 8 weeks. So it's like, okay, it gives you a sense of how long this thing goes.
Yeah.
And so then you're like, okay, 20 fighter pilots every 8 weeks. It starts to be a lot of fighter pilots where you're like, well, how many could really be in the 1%? Like if it was truly the 1%, I think I did the math. It would be like, there are over 10,000 fighter pilots in the world, which I think is impossible because they said the planes are like $30 million. And I know, you know, military budgets are insane, but it's also really funny that there are other fighter pilots that have graduated this school, but they can't be the one that go on this mission. It has to be the guys who that day
just graduated. Yeah. That's,
we need to send those ones.
I love that. No need to explain too much. Just like, that's what I love about this movie. Did not put them in action. Waste any time on logic. It's just like, let's hop into it, baby. Let's put a card that says 24 hours later after the graduation, we're in the shit. Let's get into the war, baby.
I think there is some merit to that as a form of storytelling and in movies, especially to kind of get to the point.
Yeah, it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it definitely makes movies fun. It adds like the whimsy to it a bit.
Mm-hmm.
It is convenient. And I wonder when we talk about movies and we talk about things being too convenient, are we being too hard on movies sometimes? Because things being convenient and getting to the next thing, I think. When I watch these old movies, I appreciate it. And I think a lot of modern movies kind of linger or.
Yeah, it's a fine line, I think.
It's a fine line, yeah. It's almost
because at a certain point, it takes me out of it, or it makes me laugh sometimes when things are so unrealistic or convenient.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But at the same time, yeah, when things are like over-explained, it really bogs it down.
It really does. And I've never had issues with like, oh, that's unrealistic. Like I would go to movies with friends. I remember watching Wanted with a friend and my friend couldn't get over the fact, Wanted, the famous Angelina Jolie, starring James McAvoy. Yes.
Morgan Freeman.
Mm-hmm. She like shoots out of a moving car or something, right? And they slow it down.
Yes.
To curve the bullet.
Curve
the bullet. That's the whole thing.
And my friend could not get over the fact that that was unrealistic. And I was like, this is a movie, baby. Let's have fun. We just saw Angelina Jolie get into a bunch of candle wax, like wounded, and then get out fully healed and butt naked. Just
your
enjoy
friend's
this.
A big ballistics person.
Totally. He just like the logic and everything. So I think maybe there's a segment of people who watch movies that really get stuck on the logic, maybe.
Well, I think in this one, it's really the buildup to it. There is none, right? There is no buildup to that. There might be an attack.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
The day of graduation. If they just had the nerd in the room, you know, there's always a guy that's like, boss, the intel says the enemy is plotting something. We have to stay alert. We got to get these fighters. They have to be the best class ever. You know, like a line like that.
Nope.
And then the instructor is like, you guys are lucky because today I decided to make you my best class ever. No more excuses, no more BS. Mm-hmm. And you know it's because he knows there's an attack coming.
Ooh.
Just mm-hmm. a little thread to put together, you know?
Man. And then they send Maverick up, who has not been able to fly sort of successfully since his partner was killed.
Yeah.
This is not a good...
put him up there.
Yeah,
PSA get him up for there. Like mental health or dealing with loss or grief.
No.
When Iceman...
was just go harder.
When Iceman later is like, this isn't personal, but do you think it's a good idea to send Maverick on this? There's a lot of logic to that. It's like, yeah, the person who's grieving, maybe we shouldn't send him into a combat situation.
100%. I love that maybe calling it out is enough for the audience. Well, should we send him up there?
Yeah.
All right, let's go, baby. Let's get this movie back on track.
The audience reaction is like, fuck you, Iceman. You're just jealous of Maverick because he's a natural genius.
Yes, he's a natural genius.
It's so like that American attitude, just tough it out, which isn't necessarily just American. It's very old world. It's very ancient. You don't need help. Just keep doing it. Just put your head down and plow through.
Slash also, anti-cerebral. Like at some point, Maverick says, if you think up there, you're dead. It's all impulse.
Yeah.
And that's his whole thing, where Iceman's things, he's very calculated and he never makes mistakes. And Maverick is a genius because he's always following his impulse.
Yeah.
And that's the version that we all are like, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe this is kind of bucking the trend of some kind of 80s obsession with following rules and doing things a certain way. Maybe this is like a movie for its time. It's like, we got to get back into our intuition. Let's hop into it.
Yeah, well, for sure.
We just did Ferris Bueller, and there are a lot of similarities between these two movies. You know, it's very about the two, a friendship. You know, the girlfriend is kind of just adores the main character.
Yeah.
You know, inexplicably, there's no real romance between them, but she just adores them and is ride or die. And the villains are over the top, Rooney and Iceman.
Right.
Pretty over the top, you know. So it was out of its time, totally. I'm sure if we look, as we do more movies, we do more movies from mid to late 80s, we'll see a lot of similarities. It's interesting how much this homoerotic brotherhood is part of it. America's been hiding stuff, man, for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're both these
feelings about each other, you know?
These fantasies.
Yeah.
It's like you want to be Ferris Bueller, you want to be Maverick. Yeah. You want to be the person who breaks all the rules. Both of them are about rule breakers.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And like naturals, right? They're natural. They're effortless,
right?
Yeah,
in their defiance and in the things in succeeding in what they set out to do,
right? Did now my question is, did Maverick have an arc in this movie? Did he change at all, or were they just trying to encourage him to be himself the whole time, even though he was?
I would say that he learned to be a little bit more responsible. Like, I think it's an important moment at the end when he's Iceman. It's so ridiculous to say these words, but when he's Iceman's wingman and he's like, I'm not leaving my wingman. That's the thing he did earlier in the movie. And you saw it was because he was sort of following personal sort of glory.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, he's learned and matured that sometimes you need to play as part of the team, basically.
Yeah.
I think that's more or less the journey.
Okay. Okay. I'm with you on that. I can see that.
All that being said, he had no responsibility for his friend's death.
Yeah, they make that very clear. They have a whole trial where they tell us.
They say it over and over again. So
even his friend's wife was like, hey, he would have wanted to die up there with you. I forgive you of all the issues.
They definitely don't want the audience to have mixed feelings about Maverick.
No. But the modern superhero movie, they're always responsible for the midpoint death, right? Mm-hmm. You didn't get there in time. You put these things into motion. You created this. But in this one, it was very much like, no, man, you're good. You're good. It was technical error. It was the guy himself. It was everything except you is the reason.
But he didn't quite believe it, right? That was the whole thing. Yeah. He was trying to get over that. Yeah,
he just had guilt and was so sad that his buddy passed, which understandable.
As I started Googling different things about this movie, it led me to all sorts of like, there's some website. Have you ever seen this as you've Googled things? It's called like Quora or something, but people ask questions and then all these people answer it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there's Top Gun ones where it's like so many people who at least list themselves as being former Navy aviators answering technical questions. And it's a lot of just like how everything's made up for this, for the movie, and how like one example is Maverick's like big move is the one where he calls it slams on the brakes and lets the person who was following them sort of shoot up in front of him so he can target them. And they're like, technically you can do that, but they're sort of explaining all the different ways why that's sort of dumb. And how most of the movie like doesn't really make sense, which you would assume as a Hollywood movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So culturally, I guess there is a lot and not a lot to talk about with this movie. Kind of like Ferris Bueller, it's on the nose. But in the production of it, the amount of a lot has been made about how the Marvel movies have this cooperation with the military industrial complex. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this movie definitely sought direct consultation and help from the U.S. Navy.
Mm. Wow. And because of that, had to give the Navy script approval.
Yeah. So things changed. There was like, things were moved. The opening dogfight was moved to international waters. I guess it used to be
over Cuba.
The language was toned down, which is funny, right? Because that's all about appearances. I can't imagine that guys in the Navy are toning down their language. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, of course not.
They made a point to the love interest. They made her a civilian and they describe her as a civilian several times because you wouldn't be allowed to actually like fraternize with between officers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Had to make all those things clear. And I'm sure a number of other changes, who knows what else, you know?
Yeah, it is.
I'm sure there's a list of them online. I saw a couple. I didn't write them all down because you could get bogged down in all the changes, but this movie very much is like has a cooperation of the U.S. government.
And it very much doubles as a recruiting video for the Navy.
It is.
And
I guess
the people volunteering to try to be naval aviators like went up 500% after this movie.
Wow.
It glorifies it so much. It makes it look so cool.
For the Navy or the Air Force? Is it
for the thing that I read specifically to be a Navy pilot.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because they fly off the ships in the water. They're Navy pilots.
Aircraft carriers, right? Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's fascinating. Which, funny enough, I feel like they also painted people who work in those kinds of jobs as having the time of their lives with the, we're going to play volleyball. We're going to just be in the shower talking with buddies. We're going to be doing all this stuff. And I've had friends who were in the Army and they have negative opinions about like people who joined the Air Force or just anyone who's on a boat or something. They're just like, oh, must be nice.
Yeah. Brand doesn't like every other branch.
Yeah.
Truly.
Yeah. Interbranch.
It's very tribal. Beef. Yeah.
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 So let's talk about Tom's pursuit of this civilian contractor, just briefly. We hinted at it earlier, but man, it is aggressive and it is not the way a person should pursue someone they're interested in. Mm-hmm. Is the song the first thing he does?
Song's the first thing he does, this the whole stunt of it, where it's suddenly him and his friends and then the whole bar singing to her.
Right. Yes. So they're doing karaoke, right?
Yeah. I mean, unofficially, there's a microphone. There's a microphone there, and they pick it up.
He grabs a microphone. It's not even karaoke night.
Nope. No karaoke night. No. He grabbed a mic.
He grabs a mic, starts singing, "You Got That Love and Feeling."
Yeah.
Everybody joins in. They crowd around her.
Yeah.
And it's interesting or funny because when they first show her, she's like, "Oh my God, what is happening?" Then they cut to the guy singing and stuff. And then finally she's like, "Oh,
you charmed me.
You charmed my pants off, you know?"
Yeah.
Then he finishes the song. And some black guy comes in and starts doing a second verse for like 2 seconds.
Yeah, he's like, I'll keep it going.
What is this? I was like, this is Ferris Bueller all over again. He's just going to break off into a whole different song now. Luckily, they cut that short. Then 10 seconds later, I guess they're talking first, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's like, I'm not interested. Like, but she says it in a nice way. Then she
gets
goes
a drink and sits down with another guy.
She goes and sits down with another guy. He's trying to talk to her. And she's like, oh, well, blah, 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 blah. She gets her drink. She goes and sits down next to some older guy.
Mm-hmm.
Tom is furious. Maverick is furious. Seething. He's like, what? That old dude? Come on, look at me.
Mm-hmm.
She gets up and goes to the bathroom. He follows her into the bathroom.
Yep. Yeah.
That is most terrifying part of the movie.
Yeah, yeah. This is the 80s. This is the 80s, too. This is a ladies' restroom. It's not just like anybody, you know, it's not an open restroom. It specifically said ladies' room, and he walked right in there.
It's not the gender-neutral bathroom.
Yeah, not a gender-neutral bathroom. He's breaking rules.
But, you know, you watch this, and you identify with the Tom character. You're like, man, Mav, you know. If you mad, you got to go after the woman. That's the swagger you got to have. Oh, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's such
There's
a
an underlying
boy.
Vibe of don't believe the woman when she doesn't seem interested.
Yeah. Yes.
Because you know she
this
is.
Thing of like, just keep pushing. And at some level, yeah, exactly. That's the message of like, this is all a front. She is interested. Go into the women's group, follow her. It's like,
yeah.
Truly, it's like I can't imagine something scarier than a guy flirts with you. You say no, thank you. Then you go to the bathroom, and suddenly he comes in and closes the door.
Oh God!
It's a nightmare.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Terrifying.
And it's like his whole thing is bold move. Okay, bold move. Get me and the gang and the boys. We're gonna surround her and sing this song until she's forced to say something nice. If she denies me, bold move. Go into the bathroom with her. And just,
at least he doesn't in the thing. He never, I think, touches her in the bathroom. And it's like, obviously, everything he's done up until now is terrible. But I guess it would be worse if he touched her.
Yeah.
But it's really bad.
He doesn't touch her most of the movie. Like, this is clearly like...
It's unclear how actually interested he is in her.
Yeah.
It feels like he's just trying to win the bet.
Yes. Oh, I think that's probably more on it. And he's just like, I got to show the guys.
The idea that getting a girl or getting a girl to like you or to show interest in you or whatever, it's like a video game. A very simple game, right? Like one of these iPhone games or old Atari game.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a guy like with an axe or a tool.
Yeah, it's an endurance event.
And all you have to do is break through each layer, and then her heart is in the middle, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You just chip away, and it's like, oh, she said no, chip harder. Oh, the first layer is down, and you got to go and attack the second layer. It's like, that should not be the mentality.
No.
You know? And then she had a reason, whether she liked him or not, right? Maybe let's say he would say, she was definitely like giving me vibes or whatever, which is... whatever
problematic.
Yeah.
She had a very real reason for not being interested in him. She was the instructor.
Yeah.
She's a civilian instructor. It was against the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Inappropriate. Right.
Yeah.
And then the next day he goes to class and he's like, oh crap, it's her.
Like, yeah, and then man. Like talks over her, right? She's like explaining mm-hmm. advanced physics and he's just talking to Goose. And yeah. she has to interrupt to be like, excuse me, do you have something to say? And then he's mm-hmm. an asshole and he tells the whole like MIG story and says it's yeah. classified, I'd have to kill you. He's like nonstop an asshole.
Truly.
And it's like, how, this can't fly in the military. Mm-mm. They're trying to teach you to save lives, your own life. You're going to be in this plane. This lady's like, these are the things you need to know. And he's like, hey, Goose. That's the chick I tried to bang last night. It's like, shut up,
that's
bro.
The woman I followed.
Yes. I told you about the girl I stalked and followed her into the bathroom. This is her, bro. Give me some love. Let's go play some volleyball later. No, man. Focus, man.
Focus up. This is important.
This is like fighter weapons school.
Uh-huh.
The most prestigious school. I knew this name when I saw it. I was like, this is an awful name because it's not a good acronym. FWS. Come on, man.
No.
It would
no.
never do that.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
definitely something where, like, when they do that graphic in the beginning, you're like, oh, this was definitely an article the producer read and optioned, where he read something. He's like, oh, there's fighter pilot school? Great. Let me buy the rights to this, find a writer.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. because, yeah, like the things that aren't like the advanced weapons training or whatever it's called,
yeah.
You know, that's a real name because otherwise they would have come up with something that didn't sound so bad.
Right, right. It doesn't sound right. That's so true. And if it were, if they played it truly like this is the cream of the crop, the kid, the people in this school have all been selected and their goal is to make it through. While he was flirting with Charlie in the classroom, somebody else in the class would have been like, hey, shut up.
Yeah, Lieutenant.
I'm here to learn. Yeah.
This or is- the other officer that was there, like his exactly. superior. It's
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Don't disrespect this expert that we brought in.
Uh-huh. I'm surprised the military let this come through without chain of command.
The very beginning, and it's another one of those things where for this kind of movie, you just have to laugh and enjoy it. But it starts with a fighter pilot scene immediately, where immediately he's in combat. And then afterwards, the whole thing where that superior is like, the whole, I can't believe I'm doing this because you just mm-hmm. broke all the rules, but I'm sending you to advanced fighter school. Mm-hmm. It's so fun. The wink at this is something that wouldn't really happen. It's just, I can't believe I'm doing this. They write that in there. Because it doesn't make any sense. He reprimands yes. him and then is like, congratulations, I'm sending you to the school for the top 1%.
Right. Yes. It'd be the equivalent of doing an improv scene with an unusual person and yes. calling them out, but never getting any explanation and just continuing to call the person out while they do crazier and crazier things.
Well, it's sort of the equivalent, right, of being getting into the improv weeds, of being like the straight man or the voice of reason. And being mm-hmm. like, I can't believe I'm going to stay on this date with you.
Yes.
But
yes.
I'm going to.
Yeah. I have no reason to, but it's fine. That's so true.
Oh. I'm trying to think of a basketball analogy to tie it in for the non-improv.
people, I know. You guys hurt for the rest
it's
of the
like
world.
Like Jack started shooting threes with no practice. You're like, why are you doing that? He's like, I don't know, man. Just mm-hmm. felt like it.
Yeah. And his coach was like, keep going. I'm sending you
the basketball metaphor would be like, you've turned the ball over the last 8 times, but I'm subbing you in. Go yeah. out there and win us this game.
Well, which is really funny. Really funny, actually. I was just reading the Three Ring Circus book about the 2000 Lakers.
Oh, yeah, I read
that. Kobe Lakers. And I'm pretty early in the book, so it's the part where Kobe just airballed all the shots against Utah. In like his rookie year in the playoffs. And that was that situation. He like airballs and it's like, let's keep giving Kobe the ball. He airballs again and like we'll give it to him again. 3 more airballs. They're like, oh, I guess Kobe, we lost the game.
Kobe is the closest thing the NBA has had to Maverick.
Kobe is NBA's hey. Maverick. 100%.
100%.
I'm surprised that wasn't like really part of his narrative.
Iceman mm-hmm. is like Tim Duncan. Where he's just like, follow the rules, play the right way. Thank God they were never teammates.
Shoot it at the backboard at 60 degrees from this angle.
A bank shot is the most effective shot you can take in this situation.
What else about this movie? It got 4 Academy Award nominations.
Wow. All technical stuff, right?
Editing, song, sound.
Right, song, yeah.
Sound effects editing.
People loved the sound.
Oh, that was great. Yeah.
Oh, man. Take My Breath Away is a song I knew better than I've known this movie. This is my first time seeing the movie beginning to end.
Oh, wow. Mm.
And that song, when it just hits, every time it hits in the movie, you're just like, it kind of takes you to a different place, to a different movie almost.
Mm-hmm. Different movie. Yep.
It's like, yeah. Oh, this is like an old Hollywood 1960s, like studio romance all of a sudden.
Yeah. Because the song that really encapsulates the movie is Danger Zone.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. This movie.
Danger Zone.
I love how they're just, like you said, Aaron, before, there are 3 different stories or movies in this one movie. And right. You can tell the difference by just the music change.
Yeah. And some of them are sort of shoehorned in. Definitely the Take My Breath Away love stuff is just like, we need a little of this.
Yeah.
Can't just be shirtless guys.
Because even though it is a guy's guy, frat, good old boys movie, they were like, women have to come to this movie. We're not going to give them a great romance. We're going to give them a great romance song.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We're going to give them the ballad of all ballads. Take My Breath Away.
Yeah. At this point in the movie, yeah, women have put up with a lot.
Truly.
Let's give them this song.
A clear strategy from this era for movies. What movie did we watch? Sleepless in Seattle, right? Uh-huh. Didn't it have a Celine Dion song or something?
I mean, my mom had that CD, so I know the soundtrick well.
Yeah, it had about the soundtrack.
Tons of, yeah, romantic songs.
Mm-hmm. All the way up until Titanic.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah.
The actual Celine Dion song. But putting a very kind of weepy ballad in a movie was a move.
Yes.
Say, women, even if you kind of watch the movie and it washes over you or whatever, you're going to like this song, you're going to remember this song, and then you'll remember the movie.
And you're going to buy it.
You're going to buy it.
It's not scoring love moments. It's putting in a pop song.
And black movies did this too. There are a number of Whitney Houston songs that are just soundtrack songs that we love.
Of course.
Bodyguard,
baby.
Exhale or this or that.
Mm-hmm.
That just did the time.
They did.
And the songs carry. We got to bring ballads back. Ballads have gone.
Yeah. I'm thinking ballads. I miss them too. I'm thinking Kiss from a Rose. Oh, I'm like, wow.
Batman Returns.
Yeah.
Kiss from a Rose, bro.
Seal just singing his heart out for a Batman movie. Like, beautiful.
Seal, you got to put it all on the line. I will, man. I will. What's it for? Batman movie.
Batman Returns, the one with the penguin. Okay.
All right.
You know, what's funny is when you do that kind of song, then when you make the music video, it sort of has to be related to the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
No matter how goofy the movie is, even if it's Batman Returns, you're like, all right. Yeah. I definitely did not think of Batman Returns when I wrote these lyrics that are very meaningful to me.
Yeah.
But I guess we need the imagery.
They have to put the movie clips in the music video, or they used to do it real clunky.
So clunky. And it's just like Celine Dion on the Titanic. It's like, okay. Or even worse, Seal in the Batman Returns. I bet Seal is just like
on the roof or something.
Yeah.
And just cut their Batman using his thing.
Yeah.
Like, Batman.
Is that the kiss? Is that the kiss from the Rose? The grappling hook? Wait, I'm trying to put this together.
We'll have to look YouTube it.
Yeah, we'll YouTube it. But yeah, bring back ballads. Because I hate how much ballads work. I'm like, for all the criticism I have.
No, I meant is the grappling hook itself, the kiss
from
the
saying, road. We're saying bring back ballads, but then only talking about how goofy they are in movies.
Yeah, the connection is weird.
It's with
the
magical. Songs,
exactly. The songs are magical.
Songs are magical.
Fun sing-along songs.
Yes.
So Top Gun is a massive movie hit. Like, people love this movie so much. And I don't know that they're wrong for it. Why not? You like a movie that came out during your formative years. It's just I don't even think it's just watching it now in 2022. I think even at the time, people knew, like, hey, this is weird.
I mean, a ton of people passed on playing Maverick before they gave it to Tom Cruise. Yeah. And you understand why they passed. You could see reading the script and being like, I'm not going to do this fighter pilot school movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Like, there's nothing like, yeah, this script feels off.
Yeah, it's just like, it's like, I'm not going to do this like weird pro-war, like thing where like you'd read the dialogue but in the love scenes and be like, what is this? I'm not going to do this.
Yeah.
Right.
Because this is the thing that really that launched Tom Cruise. He had made a couple movies before this, but he, it's very telling. He was not the first one offered this role.
Yeah.
He was like eighth on the list.
Right.
Which is funny to even think about. It's hard to think about that or to like
put that a time before he was the number one star in the world and now maybe the only movie star in the world.
Yeah, honestly, the only one left. That is funny. It's great to see those like star turning roles for people and hear those stories about like, oh yeah, you know, everybody passed on this. And now the person who you feel like this movie couldn't exist without is the one who did it.
Yeah, obviously Tom Cruise had a number of great runs in his film history, like 3, 4, 5 movie runs that were just like crazy. But he had done Risky Business before. That's what put him on the radar.
Right.
And whatever. Then Top Gun. Then The Color of Money opposite Paul Newman.
Yeah.
That was big. And directed by Martin Scorsese.
Scorsese, yeah.
Then he did Cocktail, which was, I think, a solid hit. And then Rain Man. And it was like...
Right. Rain Man was just like, let's get nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah. Take off.
And then he was Tom Cruise. Then he was just Tom Cruise. And everything else is something you've heard of, seen. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Days of Thunder, Few Good Men, The Firm, Interview with a Vampire. Then Mission Impossible starts. Right,
which he produced.
Jerry Maguire, which he also produced.
Mm.
Eyes Wide Shut, he got to work with Kubrick. I mean, it was just like, and then it's like everything you know now, more Mission Impossibles.
Mm-hmm.
So, really,
I was talking about it with somebody the other day. I do think it's interesting because he really only does like popcorn movies.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think of him, I don't think people think of him necessarily when you're making your list of like who are our best actors. But there is something about him that I think it like there's a lack of self-consciousness in his acting.
Yeah.
That's like a superpower. And there is something like when he, and like he always does, like he is present in every moment on screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And so committed.
Yeah. Yeah.
There isn't a slay. And it's like, it's also hard to think of him as a great actor because you never are not thinking of him as Tom Cruise.
Right.
Yeah.
But he's a very good actor. There's not everybody could pull off a fighter pilot movie and make you be like, yeah, I'm into it.
That's the thing. A lot of everybody to that turn it down. Of course, it's like this had to be Tom, right? That's how it feels now.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that is a credit to his passion, energy, charisma, and talent.
Mm-hmm.
And that ability to lack the self-consciousness, it makes me think of two things. I think I mentioned this Tom Brady doc I was watching recently in this Lakers book. It's like, yeah, Kobe and Tom Brady, when they are talked about or talk about themselves, it's very much like that. It's like, I got a job to do. I'm going to do it. It also makes me think when I really started taking more vacations and really being like, okay, well, if I'm at a place to do a thing, then I want to do the thing from that place. You know what I mean? So the idea of like going on vacation and being like, I don't want to do that. Well, then why did you come? And I think that's like the Tom Cruise mentality. It's like, why am I on set if I'm not going to be 100% here and do this?
Right. Yes.
Like, why does anything else matter right now? I'm here to give a performance, you know?
Yeah.
Don't go to the bowling alley and be like, half-assing it. No, just do your thing. Bowl hard because you're mm-hmm. here to do a thing. Or if you had mm-hmm. a party, have party fun. Within the realms of safety, of course. But it's like,
right.
go all in. And I think
yeah,
it can be hard to block out the noise and distractions. And especially when you're an actor, on these big budget movies, there's so much coming at you.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me, there was that rant. I forget what movie he was making, but there was like there's audio, I think, of him like screaming at someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But to me, I'm like, it makes sense that he's so serious about the work and he brings everything to it that someone else not doing their job, mm-hmm. especially when it's the pressure of like his movies are $500 million movies.
Right. Yeah.
It's yeah. like, it's, it, you can understand why it would infuriate him that it's like, we are all responsible for this thing that we're working on. And I am doing all, I'm bringing all this commitment to it and I'm a star.
Yeah.
Why
yeah.
aren't you doing your job?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm hanging off the side of an aircraft. It's like flying in the air. Like
yeah.
He's that dedicated. Could you wait
for 10 seconds? You yeah. know what I mean? So we get the shot.
Don't make noise during this take or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that said, you know, I was just a kid when I was barely a kid when this came out. I heard about it my whole life. And again, I had just seen the full version now. So, but I am a Tom Cruise fan. Not from this movie, obviously, but what, you know, this movie's accessibility to non-white people, even to women, I don't really know how to place it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know if people that I know, friends or like my dad or his generation, mm-hmm. how mm-hmm. much they watched or cared about this movie, you know?
Right.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder if the new one coming out will give some insight into that, but nostalgia is so big, people are just going to see it. I don't know if
it sounds mm-hmm. like there's going to be a lot more depth to this one from
a couple of black characters. Yeah. Jay Ellis is in it. Shout out.
Yeah. I saw that.
I almost cast him in this. It's funny.
Yeah.
He's a guy from, an actor from the show Southside. Southside is a comedy that now is on HBO Max. Really funny.
So funny.
It refers mm-hmm. to Chicago, Southside of Chicago. The guy that plays a cop on that show is in the movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The older guy. The director or something. Yeah, the older, the really dark-skinned guy.
Yeah.
Who's a cop, so.
That's amazing.
When I saw Jay Ellis was in the new one, I was like, oh, I might go check this out then.
Same. I was like, wow.
Lawrence is up in here doing it. Still getting over ether, you know?
Yeah. I had no history with this movie prior to watching it for this podcast. Even then, when I saw the trailer for Top Gun Maverick, I was like, okay, I'm going to go see this.
There's definitely no appeal from the movie to anybody that's not white. Like, the movie isn't offering anything.
Yeah.
If you're not white, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. getting into it is just, well, if you're a minority, you just are, you're watching white content your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the content that exists. That's the majority of content mm-hmm. that exists in American thing.
Yeah.
So the appeal of this movie is just the popularity of it, the hype around it. You want to see what
mm-hmm.
is being written about and talked about.
Yeah. And then
if you get into Tom Cruise, if you think he's a good actor and you're like, this is a guy to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Or if you love planes, if you love
it's also that, yeah,
planes, you might just be like, yeah, I'm going to go see the fighter pilot movie because planes are dope. I've never liked fighter pilot scenes in movies. Mm-hmm. So I kind of, you know, I'm playing solitaire on the phone when those scenes kind of come up,
mm-hmm.
which I obviously wouldn't do if I was in a theater. I would be more into it, but watching it at home. And it's the same thing with any movie where it's like aerial fights are a big part of it. I'm like, I'm almost getting dizzy here.
They're really hard to shoot. Because in reality, the planes are so far away from each other.
Right.
And they're moving so fast. Like, I do think they do a pretty good job of giving the illusion of it feeling personal.
Yeah.
Because you close up with this pilot, close up with this pilot. But it's like, that is does not seem like what the reality would be at all. And it's so confusing. Everything's going so fast and things would be so small.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is also what they did with like Iron Man. It's like, oh, he's flying around and then the camera's right here.
Yeah.
You know.
Right, right. Yeah, I hope they just visually make things easier to understand by just make the bad guys' planes red and make the the good guys' planes blue or whatever. Keep it simple.
Flying tentacle monsters.
Yes, yeah. That'd be great.
The horde of flying tentacle monsters is always a good
one. You know they're the bad guys.
Yeah. That'll be an interesting thing. Who do you think is going to be the bad guys? Do you think they're going to keep it vague? For the new movie too?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Just because I think they need to sell it everywhere. I don't think they could make a real country the bad guys.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's other Americans in somehow. I don't know.
Right. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Robots. Let's
get the casting, maybe.
Great.
Let's do it.
A tough one to cast. I tried to stretch a little bit because you know, it's so easy to use the same names.
I know. I could have put Michael B. Jordan down a couple of times. I was like, nope, I've used him too many movies.
Yeah, right. Like, he's booked right now.
No more Michael B. And some other people. Also like that Meg Ryan is a friend in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Or the wife of the friend.
Goose's wife, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get into casting. Who's going to go first this week?
You want to start Maverick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I cast this a billion times, but the one I left off with is David Diggs from Hamilton and since then a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Great That's choice.
Funny. That's funny. Yep. I like the lead. Who you got, Amon?
I went a little younger. I went with my boy, Damson Idris.
I thought about both of those guys.
Did you?
But you know, with Tom.
Yeah.
He's so unpredictable in a way. Because he's so intense and he buys in for whatever the scene is. There's this smoldering intensity. intense with Tom. So it's really hard to think about that casting.
Who's the Tom?
Damson's great, and I thought about, wait, who did you choose, Brandon?
David Diggs.
David, I actually did think about David. I went with my boy Daryl Britt Gibson, who I used before. But I was just been watching the We Own the City, right? On HBO, the new HBO David Simon show.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And he's in it. And I just think that he's really talented. I think he's going to really surprise a lot of people in the next year or so. So I went with Daryl Britt Gibson. Let's.
I'm looking right. Him up.
Once you look him up, you're like, oh, I recognize him from a bunch of
that's
stuff.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's
cool.
I could see him as like a goose, too.
Right? He could. Because
I see him, he plays like funny parts a lot, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah, he's in Barry. Barry just came back. Barry,
that's right.
Right. All right. My goose is O'Shea Jackson Jr.
Nice. So like
David and O'Shea partners.
O'Shea's
the wisecracker.
Yeah, that's a great casting.
Yeah, I like he's good.
Yeah.
O'Shea is always solid, man.
Mm-hmm.
When you get him in something, he's just like, oh man,
yeah, such a delight. I'm like, oh yeah, he's gonna do his part. He knows he brings life to it. I went with Damon Wayans Jr. Nice. It's a little bit of comedic relief,
mm-hmm.
and I'd love to see him, you know, die and people feel bad, you know, like, oh, I loved him.
Yeah.
How about you, Aaron?
For Goose, I'm going with Tyler James Williams. Actually, this is what I wanted to do for Goose, actually.
Okay.
I used Tyler before. Brandon T. Jackson. You guys remember Brandon T. Jackson?
Yeah.
from Percy Jackson and the things, actually.
Yeah. But
he was kind of funny. He had a good look.
Forgotten about,
I think, yeah. Or like underutilized. Brandon T. Jackson.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. He's good.
I actually did think about switching the casting agendas around for some of these things, but then I didn't. And I felt like we might do like a G.I. Jane or something later, and I might save it for that, which maybe that's gendered and whatever, but that's what happened this time.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Brandon T. Jackson as Goose.
Cool. All right, next I did Iceman to the Val Kilmer role, which I guess Val Kilmer, I read in the trivia, did not want to do this movie, but contractually had to make this movie for Paramount. So he agreed to it. It plays a real good asshole.
That's funny. I feel like Val Kilmer has a bunch of weird stories like that. Isn't he? Or maybe I'm getting him confused with Guy Pearce. One of those guys is...
No, I think it is Val Kilmer, yeah.
Yeah.
So this one I cast Corey Hawkins.
Oh, yeah, Dr. Dre.
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
At this point, I both cast Ice Cube and Dr. Dre.
You just did a Compton. I like it.
Yeah, that works. For Iceman, I went with Brian Tyree Henry.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. More intimidation factor.
Truly.
I went
with... You might have to hit the weight room for all the shirtless volleyball.
Oh, we're not doing shirtless.
This is a big part of, part of the movie.
Let big boy shine. No, we're going shirtless. We're letting it all out, man. This is big boy season.
Big boy season. Let's get him. Pop those tops off, big boy.
Yeah, let's get it out there. My Iceman, I chose Ray Fisher, who was Cyborg in Justice League. And yeah, Ray Fisher. He's so intense in those movies, I felt like.
Right.
He's so kind of brooding and intense. I was like, yeah, he could be a good
yes, villain. Cyborg and Iceman, not too far apart.
Right.
Yeah. Emotionally, yeah.
Yeah.
Truly.
Do you guys do Slider? That's Iceman's partner.
No.
It's not much of a role. I don't even know why I did it, except that I just cast Goose. But anyway, I cast Winston Duke.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Like that.
I like this.
All right. The instructor.
Charlie?
Charlie Blackwood.
The lady, right? The love
interest. Yeah.
The lady. Yeah.
Okay.
The lady.
I'm like, did they call her Charlie much? Maybe. I'm not sure.
Yeah, Charlie.
That was her her handle.
Her name is Charlotte.
Yeah.
But they called her Charlie.
Apparently, this character modeled after a real woman who the producers met, who did, I think, a similar job for the Navy. And then same thing. I don't remember her name, although I guess she was very accomplished. But her like nickname was Legs. And I was like, oh, God, this poor woman.
Oh, my God.
Was like an astrophysicist. Of course, her nickname in the military is Legs.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. Oh, that's horrible. That's so bad.
Who you got for Charlotte?
I got Nicole Beharie. Do you know Nicole Beharie?
Oh yeah,
Nicole Beharie
from Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah, she was in that movie Shame with Michael Fassbender. She's been a bunch of things. She's very good.
And she did this movie a couple friends of mine did about debutantes in the South. Oh, I need to look it up because these are good people.
She's in some pretty big movie that's about to come out too that I saw on her IMDb.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Amon, she was in 42 also, the Jackie Robinson.
Yeah, right.
Miss Juneteenth, another black movie recommendation, directed by Channing Peay.
Oh, she's in Honk for Jesus, Save Your Soul. Have you guys heard of that movie?
I've heard of it. Was it good?
It hasn't come out yet. I think it comes out later this year. But it's her and Sterling K. Brown and Regina Hall.
Oh, yeah. You can't go wrong with that.
Keep an eye out for it.
Yeah. So for Charlie, I cast, because I was like, we need some wow factor. So I cast Rihanna just to play Charlie.
Oh, wow.
Just because I like that, like, she could just tear him down. You know what I mean? Just
yeah. I want to see Rihanna's reaction when someone follows her into the bathroom.
Like, that would be amazing. Yeah.
I went with lesser known Sierra McClain, who was in currently in 911 Lone Star.
Okay.
So,
yeah, Sierra McClain. She's just really good on that show. Her name is Grace. She's married, just had a kid. She's a 911 operator and always handles her business. Fans of 911 Lone Star, feel me on this one. I already know, but everybody else is like, "What? What?" Well, I don't care. She's the one. Call the agent.
Yeah, we'll get her on the line.
Last two I cast were Viper, who's like the head of the school, and Jester, which is like his deputy head of the school. Do you cast any? You guys cast anything other than those ones?
I cast Viper and Wolfman, who's just...
Oh, you cast Wolfman, the guy who really the first time I ever noticed him was just like he's weirdly in the locker room after Iceman and Maverick have their little thing. And then he calls, I think, Charlie and is like, Maverick's quitting Top Gun.
Yeah.
Like, wait, you know, like, why are you the one calling Charlie?
Yeah. Also, I don't remember Maverick saying, I'm quitting Top Gun. But he just runs and like...
It was definitely one of those things where like, we need this in there or people will get confused.
It's going to be confusing. Yeah. So I just cast those two.
I just did the one, the head guy.
The teacher? Yeah, Viper. Yeah,
I did Viper, I regret it already because it's just, like I cast him all the time and it's really not a big enough role for him, but I cast Denzel as Viper.
Ooh. Yeah, we could get Denzel for like a weekend. Just something easy.
We'll shoot you in and out in a couple days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Fiji. Bring the whole family out. It'll be fine. For Viper, I cast podcast all-star Coleman Domingo.
Oh, yeah. We love him.
You love him. Aman, I had to get a favorite in there. He had.
Have to.
If it wasn't Kiki Palmer, yep.
Mm-hmm.
I went with, I had a few here. Ultimately, I think I'm going to go with Joe Morton, the legendary Joe Morton, been around forever. Super talented. I don't know what the most recent thing he did, right? Maybe he was on Scandal, maybe was the most recent. He was Cyborg's dad in Justice League, so.
Terminator.
He's on the show Our Kind of People.
Oh, okay.
That's a show that's on now on Fox about a black family. So he's always in something. He's always finding his way into something. And he always delivers.
Truly.
I really like this show. What was that show? God Friended Me. Did you guys ever watch that?
No. I remember just seeing the commercial and I did not think I would like it as a commercial.
Hey, preaching to the choir, but I ended up stopping on it. Randomly, maybe just I don't really even know why. Maybe because it had black leads, ended up getting kind of hooked on it. It's definitely a network like CBS show, its style and everything, but it ended up being pretty good.
Oh, nice. I'm surprised it only had two seasons.
They did. It was a odd cancellation for people that watch and like that show. We were like, what?
Right.
Oh, the only other casting I did was Meg Ryan.
Cool. I didn't cast that. Who did you cast as Goose's wife?
I just went with Sky Townsend. Robert Townsend's daughter or niece or some family relation. I actually should look that up. But she's on Black Lady Sketch Show.
Yeah.
So I wanted to kind of get a newcomer. And I went with her.
Cool.
Nice.
For Jester, who's like sort of the deputy head of the school, I did Omar Epps. That's the last one I cast. Bring him back.
Omar. Oh, man. We haven't used Omar Epps nearly enough.
Criminal. It's criminal how little we've used Omar Epps.
I do feel like that falls on Aman. You're the comedy casting.
That's true. That's why I'm pissed off at myself. I'm like, that's good. Omar Epps. Yeah. For Wolfman, my last casting, just as a guy in the background in a towel, is of course Trevante Rhodes. You just I don't know, just have a buff dude in the back.
Yeah, just show off some Show off some meat.
Some physique.
Some buffness.
Yeah. Yeah. But then he at one point goes, I got a separate mission to go. They're calling it something about a predator. And then he takes off so that the movies are interconnected. They're
calling it something about a predator.
Yeah. The movies are interconnected. That's it. Same universe. Telling
it something about a predator. I gotta go.
I just gotta go.
They're like, wait, what the heck was he talking about?
Something about a predator. What is it? That's not a military mission.
Yeah.
And then in the sequel to that one, they're like, oh yeah, did you hear about Trevante? That predator he was talking about was an alien monster.
What? Did he know that when he left?
I don't
Why didn't he say alien?
He didn't know.
No clue.
Because otherwise, when you say predator, it just sounds like a random dude.
I thought it was like a war, and then they were called the predators, and they were like a new batch of foreign enemies.
I thought you were talking about Maverick for following women into the bathroom. He is the predator in this movie.
I thought it was male predators. No, it was a 7'5", super powered, super technologically advanced alien. Yo. Ooh,
yeah.
They only sent like five guys. He's the only one that survived.
Yeah. They should have sent more guys.
We should all be terrified.
Yeah.
Shout out to Carl Weathers.
Oh, big shout out to Carl Weathers. Big shout out.
Forever. Yeah, and
Top Gun, just a little bit of like the definition of kind of mindless fun.
Mm-hmm.
Because the movie just didn't connect itself to itself. And it was really such for one specific audience that it didn't care about it. It was like the bros were like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And some of the scenes and the things are on the nose, but it's still enjoyable, you know?
Yeah.
Like the instructor, when he's saying his stuff, he's like, I can't remember the lines, but you know, he kind of just, everything's like a wink to the camera. He's like, you got to get on it. We're going to do this. He's like, God, he's like, Mav, keep it up.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. You see it a ton in like biopics, but anything with like athletes or musicians, fighter pilots, it's just they need to have people like sort of be amazed by them, like in awe of them throughout the movie. Yeah. And like sometimes it's like you don't tell them, like they leave the office and then you go to the other person's like, best natural fighter I ever saw.
Yes.
Just so you know, you're like, they're really good. You can't tell if you're just watching the fighter pilot footage. You're like, he seems like every other fighter pilot. So we'll have characters say all the time, he's a genius.
Yeah.
Instincts off the charts. We've never seen anyone like this.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever.
Yeah.
Wow.
Whoa, my gosh. Yeah. Or you get a new person who's like, isn't that the guy that like failed all of his tests or whatever? And they go, that's Maverick. And then it's just like, oh. And at the end, they go, wow.
It's also a good one where like in the way it's like really hard to cast basketball movies.
Right.
Because like if you're not good at basketball, it looks like you're not. You can't shoot. Mm-hmm. You can't like but you can fake being a fighter pilot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll just throw in a real pilot and shoot the exterior shots and cut to you making faces.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny you mentioned that. When we stop recording, I'll tell you something I heard about a upcoming sports movie.
Oh, man. Jesus. Listeners, Jesus. Sorry. Jesus. This is just for me and Aaron.
Yeah, just for you all. You love these kinds of movies where it's like, it appeals to the 9-year-old in me where I'm like, oh, yeah, maybe there's something in me that I don't know, but everyone else in the world is like, this guy is the only one who can do it.
Last thing, I think the specificity of this movie and it being kind of like a biopic-esque or superhero-esque or like one of the first, and how it's like, and we mentioned this before, how it's just about Maverick, right? Mm-hmm. I would like to see more, I think in the, you know, talk about diversity and like expanding movies. And when we get movies with like a female lead or other leads, the movies aren't as simple as this. I would like a simple movie for any lead that's as simple as this is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't add like all these random intricacies and things. I mean, there's a place for that, and there's Oscar movies, and there's all kind of movies, but I think a nice 90-minute simple movie about a lady, whatever, you know what I mean? That's mm-hmm. just focused on her.
It would be interesting to truly yeah. just do Top Gun where Maverick is a woman. It would be interesting and to not, because in real life, her being a woman would be a huge obstacle in that macho environment. Right. But it would mm-hmm. be interesting to make a movie where it never comes up and she just has the Maverick storyline of she's yeah. a genius who doesn't play by the rules and people are mm-hmm. mad because she's reckless. And the we sort of keep it, like you were saying, that simple and mm-hmm. don't make it a story where it has to be her overcoming, you know, prejudice yeah. against women or misogyny or yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No lines of like,
she's like, nope, she's just a cool pilot.
She's just a pilot. No weird, like, shouldn't you be wearing high heels? And then them getting into a plane and doing stuff. It's just like, no, this is a pilot. We respect this person's a pilot. And then let's see the movie.
Or even if you had some of that stuff, because like I said, this movie is about three or four different things. So I guess you could replace something with that. But it not being like, now we have to see this other person's story and we have to do... We have to mm-hmm. jump to these other things. It's always just about her, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Having yeah. faith, she can carry it.
And it's yes. not weepy about her because she's also cool as you mm-hmm. know, a lot of times they don't make other characters as cool to its audience as Tom is cool to his audience in this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Where maybe she is dealing with like some racism or sexism, but mm-hmm. she's just so good and so cool. You know, right. that she
talking about
going to the bathroom and it's not a big deal, you know.
I'm blanking on her name, but talking about cool Tom Cruise movies, Edge of Tomorrow is a very cool movie. That's the like live, die, repeat movie.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. With Emily Blunt.
Emily Blunt. Yeah, Emily. And mm-hmm. I was going to say, like, that's a cool character. Like, she's just like this badass warrior.
Yes.
And her gender really has nothing to do with anything. It's just like, she's the best. She's the one who yeah. can actually beat these aliens and no one else can. And Tom Cruise's character sort of learning from her.
And I mm-hmm. guess the struggle would be not her being like, oh, she's a woman. Can she fly? Everybody already knows she can fly.
Everybody knows she's kick ass. Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And like, I think they did a little bit of this in Captain Marvel. That was really, she was a fighter pilot, but she didn't have like a swagger in that mm-hmm. movie. Like Tom Swagger here, you know?
Yeah.
Not only was she the best flyer, but she's also cool. Like, I don't know that Captain Marvel's character.
Yeah.
Personality was as like rebellious, cool the way Tom's is, you know, where he is a rebel. He just plays by his own rules, you know,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
which is so appealing to, I think, a human psyche, not just a white or black or.
Right. Anybody. Yeah.
All cultures kind of praise that kind of rebellious mentality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's Top Gun. You know, I think I will check out the sequel, maybe, most likely, now that I've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see what they do.
Yeah.
But I wish they were more like cheap theaters. What happened? I guess COVID mm-hmm. happened, but you know, we're the $5 theaters where things get their second run, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm telling Lamley NoHo. You can get a matinee one for nine bucks, I think.
Eight, yeah.
Ooh, okay.
That's where I see all my movies.
Yeah. But
get some Chipotle after right up there.
Yeah, right next door. Yeah.
Delicious. But I know the type of theater you're talking about, the rundown theater that's like.
Yeah, do those still exist? The ones where you like watch a movie that came out 4 months ago?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
And the hot dogs are like $2.
Yeah. There was one in Pasadena that was nice.
Yeah.
As nice as those are, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that was fun. Fun to watch this movie for the first time. And we'll see you guys next time.